Session in Montgomery?
They finished up yesterday. There was a lot of debate in both houses yesterday on a bunch of different things. So a little late getting home yesterday for them. So they're all hither and yon. You know, on the 2 days that they're not in session, they're up there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, usually every week.
Mm-hmm.
On the 2 days that they're not in session, they jam those packed full of meetings and stuff with constituents and different people who need to get a hold of them. So It's always kind of an interesting thing to make their schedules work. And then on the weekends, especially those that have got younger kids, like Representative Simpson and Senator Elliott, they try to spend time with their families and,
right.
and be able to be dads to their kids, which I think is really important, and I think that says a lot about them.
So did Senator Elliott and others, did they catch any grief for voting no on the lottery bill? Why did he, and will another one emerge?
Yes, there was... You know, one of my jobs, Lori, in the myriad of jobs that I have working for the delegation, we're the ones here in the office here that usually catch the phone calls and get the messages to send them up to them. And there was a good bit of feedback on that on the gambling bill that failed, and a lot of people wanting to know why Senator Elliott voted against that bill.
And he talked about that here with Dr. Lou Monday on the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. And I correct myself, I said lottery bill, but it's a lot more encompassing with gambling. And that was part of his problem. It was too broad?
It was too broad. And I think, you know, and Lori, I come from the media. So when I say something about the media, it comes from a place of knowledge about it. I think there has been some oversimplification of that bill in the media by just calling it a lottery bill. People don't understand the depth to which that bill went and the stuff that would have been allowed had that passed.
Give us an example.
Well, Lori, casino gaming. I mean, it wasn't just a paper lottery bill.
What's wrong with that? I mean, what do you mean?
Well, it's two separate things. A lottery is one thing, but full-scale casino gaming and the state deciding, not the free market, but the state deciding exactly where and when these casinos are going to be around the state, there's some issues there. There's some problems there that... And it would allow some things, again, then this is a talking point from Senator Elliott, would allow some things that aren't even allowed in Las Vegas and Nevada.
Such as?
He did not specify when he went into it with me, so that would be something you would have to ask him.
Okay. All right.
But it was a problematic bill. It tried to do too much. And there are other bills that will give folks just the clean lottery that a lot of people have talked about. Because a lot of the people that I talked to here that had a problem with him voting against the bill, they actually weren't supporters of the casino gaming. They just wanted a lottery bill, and they thought that's what it was just a lottery bill.
I see.
So there was a lot of confusion going on about the bill. Senators Gudger and McClendon each have a clean lottery bill that have been introduced and are going to be working their way through the Senate. I think those have got a good chance of passing and making their way through and, you know, giving the people the right to vote on this, which, Lori, the last time we voted on this... I was in middle school.
I was just getting ready to say, if my memory serves me correctly, we will have to vote on whether or not to approve it after they approve it. Remember when Governor Bob Riley had his lottery bill?
Siegelman. It was even further back than that. It was Don Siegelman.
Was, okay.
This was back in 1999.
Okay.
And I would have been, I think, in 6th or 7th grade.
Oh, you baby
when,
child.
When all of that was going on.
But the point is, no matter what they approve, it still goes to a referendum.
And it needs to, because the people of Alabama ultimately need to be the ones to decide this for the people of Alabama.
Well, then why not allow... Why not have a two-part where we can vote on casino and we can vote on lottery?
Well,
because they really are two different animals.
They are two different things, and that was one of the problems with this bill. Had this bill passed, Lori, it would have been one giant thing instead of individual things. And I think if you look at the numbers, you're going to see a lot more people in support of a paper lottery than you would with casino gaming. So if you like the lottery, you probably should be happy that there's been a separation now, because it's far more likely that the lottery would pass,
okay,
not attached to casino gaming.
Question, do I recall that the casino gaming was still limited to the Indian groups?
No, it would have legalized some of the other places around
the
state
as well.
The dog tracks, and then Victory Land up my way, Green Track.
What about allowing for others to have free enterprise?
There was another one. It would have broken the state into like weird casino regions. And there was another one that was going to be in like the Dothan area that they were going to like let them put together or build.
Okay.
It was, again, just a very, very strange amalgamation of things. That it was one of those things that just got too big and too bulky to...
So there's two more pending that you think that will be addressed?
From talking to Senator Elliott, who, you know, these are his colleagues, Senator Gudger and Senator McClendon, I think they're very likely that they will be discussed and hopefully make it through.
Another big one is the medical marijuana bill, and I believe it passed through some committee yesterday.
It got through the Senate earlier this session, and now here's the interesting thing, Lori. This one's going through two different House committees, which is not usually standard procedure for a bill, but it shows you how important this bill is to people and how seriously they're taking their time to look at this and make sure that this is something that will be good for the people of Alabama.
Where does it stand?
It's currently in committee, so there are discussions going on. People are researching. People are looking at it. You know, the governor put together her task force on this last year. The task force gave its report. I can't remember if it was late last year or early this year, but they came out with their report. It's just asking a bunch of questions and making sure that the final form of this bill is something that will be positive for the people of Alabama.
Senator Elliott said he was in favor of the theory, as, you know, his own wife has been through cancer and other, you know, obviously many other people, and it can assist with pain and severe illnesses. But he said more than once he was against more legislation, and I didn't get to ask him what he meant because he was being interviewed by Dr. Liu during the talk show, not by me. What was that problem? Obviously, you're going to have to legislate medical marijuana. Did that mean he wasn't ready to approve it?
No. In fact, he voted in favor of moving it through the Senate.
Okay.
Now, I believe what Senator Elliott is referring to, medical marijuana is one thing, but usually it can lead to people trying to pass full legalization, and that's a bridge.
That's the next step.
And that's a bridge that Senator Elliott's really not willing to cross. Like, he is not in favor of that.
What about the other lawmakers? We hear a lot from Chris because he likes to be out in the media, but who else do we have, and why don't you ever bring them here? Are they scared of me?
Well, we've got Representative McMillan and Representative Shiver, who are usually up in Baymanette these mornings. Representative Faust, who you really ought to have Mr. Faust on. He's got that new clean water group that he's working on for the state of Alabama.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to know about that.
And I'll be happy to tell you what I know, but I mean he's really taken off with that. Senator Albritton and Representative Baker, both of them are in our legislative delegation. Of course, they live up in Atmore and Bruton, respectively. So a bit of a schlep.
I see. That's why. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, look, I'm sorry that you're stuck with me. I'm sorry that you're so disappointed.
We love having you here.
In spite
you know
of
that.
Our long and storied friendship,
you
that you're so disappointed
you
that
here.
I'm here.
That is not true. We're speaking with Cliff McCollum here at WABF. He is the Baldwin County Legislative District Constituent Services Representative, something like that.
And, you know, like we always say, Lori, I'm from the government. And I'm here to help.
We're going to take a quick break. Interview with Cliff McCollum from the Baldwin County Legislative Office and all of our lawmakers. Let's go ahead and mention that water environmental project that Senator Joe Faust is spearheading.
Representative Faust has been an elected official for a long time. He was our county commissioner for a long time. Then he joined our House delegation as a representative there. And he and a group of other people have kind of come together to form this Clean Water Alabama group, and that includes his son, our revenue commissioner, Teddy Faust, John Manelis, who I know you know, was a Fairhope mayoral candidate here not too long ago. Great guy. Love John. Judge Tim Russell, our former probate judge, Dr. Farron Hollinger, who's one of our former superintendents, and they're forming a working group together to really address the idea of cleaning up water in Alabama as a whole. It started off as looking at ways that maybe we could clean up the bay and some of our water areas around here, and it's kind of expanded into, let's look at the entire state and figure out ways that maybe we can suggest legislation or look for grant opportunities or find ways to help clean up Alabama's waterways.
Are they working in conjunction with Mobile Baykeepers?
They have reached out to Baykeeper, and they've given them a lot of great data. And Mr. Faust, through his political connections, obviously up in Montgomery, we had the Speaker of the House come down here and meet with us about that. Speaker McCutcheon's very supportive. He's reached out to the governor's office, and maybe we'll try to get a gubernatorial task force about clean water in the state and kind of making that a priority. So it's something that Mr. Faust has been very passionate about and been hard at work on, and it's good to see that kind of extracurricular activity that may not necessarily be a part of his regular job duty as one of our representatives, but to see him have the passion and the ability to want to put that together, it's very inspiring.
Very good. And the next pending legislative issue we want to talk about is the elimination of the extraterritorial jurisdiction.
The extraterrestrial jurisdiction. We got to get rid of them aliens. E.T., ALF,
that's what
all
keeps,
of them. All the aliens.
Keeps wanting to come out of my mouth, the extraterrestrial jurisdiction, and it's not. It's
extraterritorial jurisdiction. Or just ETJ. And what we're really talking about is the planning jurisdiction and the police jurisdiction for our cities extending out beyond their actual city borders.
Right. Like for the city of Fairhope, our police jurisdiction, or ETJ, extends 3 miles. And naysayers say that is taxation without representation. I have several friends that live in that jurisdiction.
Me included. Me and Tina that calls in all the time for Swap Shop.
And you have to pay some taxes, but you don't get to vote.
We don't. And the planning commission for Fairhope, if I wanted to do something on my property out there in Barnwell, the planning commission could tell me I can't do it, even though I'm not allowed to vote in Fairhope and not don't have a voice on that commission. So it's something that is a bit worrisome for some of these residents who, you know, live out in the county because they want to live out in the county. And these cities extending their reach beyond their borders and taxing out there, it's certainly a problem that a lot of people have taken an issue with.
So what's going to happen, though, if this passes? Where's our fire protection? Where's our police protection?
Well, fire protection, where I'm out, is already through the Barnwell Volunteer Fire Department. That wouldn't change at all. With the police protection, it would revert to the Sheriff's Department, and the Sheriff's Department might have to staff up and do
might? What does Hoss Mack, our sheriff, think about this? There's no might. They're going to have to beef up in order to cover every single municipality's 3 mile ETJ if this passes.
Well, but I mean, you've already got some areas where they're having to do that anyway. For example, you've got that part of Orange Beach that extends up over near Josephine, that's, you know, over the bridge. It's going to take Orange Beach Police a heck of a long time to get there to a call, even though that's area that's in their jurisdiction. So the Sheriff's Department and even the town of Alberta has picked up the slack there and has been helping out.
Okay.
You've got sharing agreements already in place for a lot of these areas.
What does Hoss think this is going to cost his department? He's going to need more funding, more people, more cars.
I haven't spoken to the sheriff directly about this, so that would be a great question to ask him.
Okay. All right. And where does that bill sit?
It's currently in the House. Still in committee, still being tinkered with there. I know there have been some amendments. And Senator Elliott has been very busy the last few weeks trying to work on that bill and get it to where people are going to be satisfied and to try to get it out of the House, passed, and to the governor's desk. So, honestly, I can't tell you exactly what's in the bill right now because it's being amended, it's being worked on, it's being changed. So, when we get a final version, I'll be sure to shoot it to you, and we can go through it together, Laura.
Speaking of final versions, the Democrats approved the federal COVID-19 relief package yesterday. It was signed into law. And one of the things it talks about is expanding Medicaid in Alabama with $940 million over 2 years to fill in the gap of those that make a little too much to qualify for Medicaid And also not enough, perhaps, to qualify for the Affordable Care Act health insurance.
No, and that's certainly an option that I'm sure the governor and our state government is going to look at. It's something that came up a few years ago with President Obama doing a similar thing, offering money to the states. The problem there, Lori, and I don't think anybody is unsympathetic to those people who are kind of caught in that weird border of making too much but making not enough.
Right.
But at the end of those 2 years, the state is still going to be on the hook for that money that they're no longer going to be getting from the federal government. And Medicaid makes up such a huge part of our budget already. To commit further spending in that area, you know, we pride ourselves on being a very fiscally responsible state and being very prudent with our money. It's something that's going to have to be looked at and talked about and thought over as we move forward on this.
Before we run out of time, now you're sticking around for Swap Shop, right?
Oh, of course.
We can touch on this stuff in Swap Shop, but a little more frivolity in Swap Shop as we're trying here to cover the important points of news. What else is pending or being addressed that you want to mention I haven't thought to ask?
You know, I think there's a bill that your listeners, especially here in Fairhope, are absolutely going to love that Representative McMillan has been working on. And it is the doggy dining bill.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that he's worked really hard on the last few years and gotten the Restaurant Association and the health departments and everybody working
so
with them.
Be legal for us to take our dogs to restaurant patios where before when we've taken them, it's not. They just let us get by.
Yeah, they just let you get by and could possibly get in trouble with the health department. But this would legalize that. He's gotten a lot of support from people around the state for this. And you know, it's one of those feel-good bills. And also, to me, it's one of those common sense things like, yeah, why can't we do that? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, I was at Dragonfly last Saturday, and there were two different people who had their dogs with them, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with this. This
outside,
is awesome.
Yeah,
outside.
Yeah.
So it passed the House. It's made its way up to the Senate, and I think the Senate will be very responsive to this. So that's a great bill from the dean of the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation, the dear Representative Steve McMillan.
Very good. And happy birthday to his wife, Marina. I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, no, that's Representative Simpson.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting the two mixed up.
No,
Matt Simpson, yes.
Yes, that's his wife. And she put it out on Facebook, so I feel comfortable saying this. Happy 39th birthday.
Oh, well, you can brag when you're still in your 30s.
I've always found that to be true.
Okay. Thank you, Cliff. Cliff is with the Baldwin County Legislative Office and is going to be sticking around for a Swap Shop.